let us first offer our most loving and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most beautiful and beatific Lord. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we always have you in our mind's eye every moment of our lives. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The first line of the bhajan we will be learning today goes like this.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
So that is the bhajan, and we will begin by getting familiar with its lyrics, and then we'll move on learning about the tune, the raga, the rhythm, the meaning of every word of this composition, and in the end we will listen to three members of the Prashanti Bhajan group who spoke about the directions that they have received from Bhagwan about bhajan singing during the National Bhajan Workshop held in Bangalore in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013. So that is what we will end with in this session. But for now, let's get started with the lyrics.
Krishna, Rama, Govinda, Narayana, Madhava, Keshava, Hari, Narayana. Krishna, Rama, Govinda, Narayana, Shri, Venu Gopala, Krishna, Madhava, Madhusudana, Narayana.
With the lyrics clear, let's move on to learning the tune of the bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Anirudh will follow him after every line. Dear listeners, you too please join Anirudh. It will help you to grasp the tune of this bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Madhyam. Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Madhava Keshava Hari Narayana.
Madhava Keshava Hari Narayana.
Madhava Keshava Hari Narayana.
Madhava Keshava Hari Narayana.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Shri Venu Gopala Krishna.
Shri Venu Gopala Krishna.
Shri Venu Gopala Krishna.
Shri Venu Gopala Krishna.
Madhava Madhusudana Narayana.
Madhava Madhusudana Narayana.
Madhava Madhusudana Narayana.
Madhava Madhusudana Narayana. Narayana.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
So that was the tune of this bhajan in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now, as we move on in this bhajan classroom, let's learn a little more about the technicalities of this bhajan and let's know about the raga behind this composition. Anirudh is here with us in the studios to give us some light on the composition of this bhajan. Tell us, Anirudh, in which raga is this bhajan based?
This is a very beautiful composition in the rag Bageshri.
Okay.
I think many people would have heard this raga before. There are so many vajans in this raga, basically. So, it is a very melodious raga. I'll sing the Arohana and Avarohana for
sure.
You.
Sure.
Saga madani sa sa ni da ma pa da pa ga ma re ni da sa. So in this raga you have sa ga komal ga ma dha dha is shuddh dha ni ni is komal ni sa in the arohana we don't have panchamam sa ni da ma pa da pa ga ma re ni da sa.
So panchamam and re, both of them come in the avroha.
Yeah.
But they are treated differently.
Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful.
Very sweet raga it is. Very melodious.
Yes. Why don't you just give us a feel of how this raga flows?
Yes.
What are the typical phrases of this raga?
Sagamadani. The Arohan is a very typical phrase. This is a very typical phrase in Bageshri.
Okay. Yeah, so these are the ways you can really easily identify the raga.
Yeah.
Yeah. So probably we will see that in this bhajan too.
Yeah.
So can we take up the bhajan, Anirudh?
Sure.
So please do the swaras for every line and Arvind Sai is here. So we will follow the swaras after every line you sing.
We'll do the swaras line by line.
Yeah.
In the metronome 65 beats per minute.
Okay, fine.
1, 2, 3, 4. Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana. Samama
పమ గరే స గరిని ధని
సమా పమ గరే స గరిని ధని సమా
కేశవ హరి నారాయణ గమదా పాదదశని సదా మామ పదవగారే
సమదా పాదదశని సదా మామ పదవగారే స
కృష్ణ రామ గోవింద నారాయణ సమా పమ గరే స గరిని ధని
సమా పమ గరే స గరిని ధని సమా
శ్రీ వేణుగోపాల కృష్ణ సారిని దామ దని సానిద
సారిని దామ దని సానిద
ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ టైమ్ విసింగ్ ఎ వేరియేషన్
శ్రీ వేణుగోపాల కృష్ణ దశ దశరి గారి నిదామ దని సానిద
దశ దశరి గారి నిదామ ధని సానిద
మాధవ మధుసూదన నారాయణ దాదబనీ నిదమ పదాప గమరే
సాదపనీ నిదమ పదాప గమరే సా
ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ టైమ్ వేసింగ్ ఎ వేరియేషన్
మాధవ మధుసూదన నారాయణ
వి స్టాండ్ ఇన్ ద మధ్యం దేర్
దాదపని సనిదమ మపదాపగరే
మాదపని సనిదమ మపదాపగరే మా
సో వీఆర్ డన్ విత్ ఆల్ ద లైన్స్ అండ్ యాజ్ వీఆర్ ఇన్ దిస్ భజన్ అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ రాగా Arvind sir, can you think of some more bhajans in this same flow and tune?
I'm just able to recollect P. Sushila garu.
Yeah.
She used to sing one song in front of Swami in this typical Bageshi rag. And it goes like this.
Talapulu neepai nilipitini తలపులు నీపై నిలిపిటి నీనా మనసే గుడిగా మలచితిని సాయి తలపులు నీపై నిలిపిటి నీనా మనసే గుడిగా మలచితిని సాయి తలపులు నీపై నిలిపిటిని
As Anirudh said, it's simply melodious raga. I mean, that is a really wonderful illustration of what you said, Anirudh.
Yes.
And Anirudh, please go on and give us a few bhajans too in this raga.
Yeah, there are plenty of bhajans.
Amba Mandahasa Vadani.
Yes.
It's a very beautiful Devi bhajan in this raga.
Yes.
Jaya Jaya Raghunandana Jaya Janaki Jeevana
And I think we have
Om Namah Shivaya Namo Narayana
Yeah, I think
the list can go on.
Yeah.
You have so many bhajans.
We had done a previous session on Bhageshri based bhajan. Sa-e-ma.
Yes.
That also sounds like Bhageshri.
Yeah. You mentioned that in that bhajan there is probably little variation, but
yeah,
largely based on Bhageshri.
Yeah.
And we have this...
Jayanarayana.
Yeah, beautiful bhajan.
Sagurudeva.
Wonderful. I think we can go on. There are so many beautiful bhajans in this raga. And Arvind Sai, can we now come to the beat? If you can, on your kanjira, demonstrate to us the beat of this bhajan.
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is typical 8-beat.
Yes.
And it is in Carnatic music, it's called Aditalam. And now, once Anirudh starts the bhajan, I'll play 2 cycles of it. And then you'll be able to understand the...
Yeah. So the count is 1... 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Yeah, it goes like that.
Yeah, wonderful. I think that is a good demonstration of the beat. We can go on elaborating on the raga and the beat of the bhajan. It's such a beautiful bhajan and there are so many compositions in this raga. We have to stop somewhere. So maybe we'll get more opportunities to dwell on this raga in future episodes of this bhajan classroom. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam.
So we are now done with learning the lyrics, the raga, the rhythm and... the subtleties of its composition. And now it's time to move on to another most important aspect, the bhava or the feeling with which we should render this bhajan to the Lord. And to understand the bhava, we need to know the inner meaning of every word of this bhajan. Let's start with the first line.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
Here the first word is Krishna. The name Krishna comes from the root word Karsh, which means to attract or draw towards, as in Akarshana. The Lord, by His divine place, by His miracles, by His amazing powers and by His love, attracts and captivates every heart and draws the mind away from the sensory impulses. Baba says this attribute of attraction is characteristic of divinity, and he adds that the divine attracts with the sole purpose of transforming us, of reconstructing us, of reforming us. The name Krishna also comes from the root Krish, which means to cultivate, as a field for growing crops. The name therefore also means he who removes the weeds of negative tendencies from our hearts and sows the seeds of positive traits. Krishna cultivates the harvest of joy in the hearts of his devotees. The second word is Rama, the incarnation of the divine as Lord Rama during the Treta Yuga. Rama means one who is pleasing and lovable. Baba also gives another interpretation that Ra refers to the Atma or the eternal soul and Ma refers to the mind. The Rama principle therefore means merging the mind in the Atma. Moving on, the third word is Govinda, which is a name of Lord Vishnu, especially with regard to his incarnation as Lord Krishna. Go in Govinda refers to the cows. Since Lord Krishna lovingly tended to the cows in the Dwapara Yuga, he bears this name. Baba says, Govinda means the guardian of cows or the guardian of individuals. Go means also individual soul. The tending of cows is a symbolic play of Krishna to indicate his mission of tending individuals. Another inner meaning is that the word go in Sanskrit denotes Vedas. Hence, Govinda also means the one who is reached by chants of Vedic hymns, the one who is the abode of the Vedas. The last word in this line is Narayana, another name of Lord Vishnu. Narayana is actually the conjunction of two words, Nara and Ayana. Nara in Sanskrit means water and Ayana refers to a resting place. So this means Narayana is one whose resting place is water or the ocean. In fact, Lord Vishnu, who is adored as the sustainer of this universe, is most often depicted as the one reclining on an ocean of milk. But this is the superficial meaning of this term Narayana. The word Nara can be further interpreted as Na-Ra. Ra means to perish and Na means no. So Nara means that which does not perish. This refers to the Jivatmas or the individual living entities or the individual souls, because the soul never dies, it only moves on. Now in this sense, Narayana means whose ayana or resting place is in all naras or living entities. To put it differently, Narayana is one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord. The Vedas declare,
Antar bahischa tat sarvam vyapya Narayana sthitaha.
That is, Narayana is present inside, outside, everywhere. The story of Prahlada from our scriptures is direct testimony to the sacredness of this name Narayana. During the summer showers in 1995, Bhagwan narrated this story in great detail. Lord Vishnu assumed the Varaha avatar or the avatar of a boar to destroy the demon Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu, the brother of Hiranyaksha, witnessed his brother's death at the hands of the Lord and he developed anger and hatred towards the Lord. He considered Narayana not as God but as a man and decided to destroy him by any means. And so Hiranyakashipu ordered all devotees, Vedic priests and Brahmins to be killed. The kingdom fell into chaos. Unable to bear the separation from his brother, he developed many weaknesses. And so he soon left his kingdom and went to a mountain to perform penance. At that time, his wife, Queen Lilavati, was carrying his fourth child in her womb. Taking advantage of the demon's absence, the gods attacked his kingdom. They wanted to eradicate the demons to establish world peace. At this point, the celestial sage Narada came down and took Lilavati to the safety of his hermitage and began teaching her at length about Lord Narayana. Lilavati pretended to listen by nodding her head, but inwardly she was worried about her husband's welfare and constantly thought of him. However, Lilavati's child was absorbed in Narada's teachings and he actually began to respond to what Narada was chanting and telling even from inside the womb. The demon Hiranyakashipu got back after a while. He had succeeded in his penance and had obtained a boon from Lord Brahma whereby he could be killed neither by man nor animal, neither on earth nor in the sky, neither by anything living or non-living, neither during the day nor in the night. As time went on, Prahlada became old enough to be sent to school and he joined the sons of other demons. Since his heart was focused on Lord Narayana, he did not imbibe any demonic teachings. Still, he pretended to listen and that made the gurus happy. When he came back after a while, his father asked him, Prahlada, let me hear you summarize the essence of all the scriptures in one sentence. And Prahlada said, Om Namo Narayanaya. Hiranyakashipu got infuriated and he sent Prahlada away with the guru so that he may be taught the demonic qualities. But this did not work out and even after a few months, Prahlada repeated only this mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. Now, realizing that the son would pose danger to his authority in the future, Hiranyakashipu decided to eliminate him. He ordered his men to torture Prahlada by various means and kill him. But since the Lord's name was imprinted in Prahlada's heart at a tender age, it was impossible to erase it. He continued to chant the name and so he always remained unharmed. As a last resort, Hiranyakashipu decided to make Prahlada drink poison right in front of his eyes and even then nothing happened to Prahlada. And now ensued a war of words between the son and the father At the end, Hiranyakashipu became highly exasperated and he asked, "Is God really present everywhere? Is he present in this pillar?" "Yes," said Prahlada. And now Hiranyakashipu thundered, "But I cannot see him. I am going to destroy this pillar." He then took a heavy mace and smashed the pillar with force. The pillar broke into two pieces and out emerged a most terrifying form which was half human and half animal. The head was lion's but the body human, and it was neither day nor night, it was dusk. Hiranyakashipu remembered the boon he had obtained. That terrifying form took Hiranyakashipu on his lap. So it was neither earth nor sky. It was during dusk, and he was such a mysterious creature, you could not say whether he was man or animal, living or non-living. The boon came back to Hiranyakashipu, and he knew for certain that that form of the Lord was going to put an end to his life. And that is how the Lord conferred his grace and protected Prahlada, who incessantly chanted his name and ensured that the demon Hiranyakashipu is annihilated from the face of the earth. That is the story of this man-lion avatar of Narasimha. And that is the power of the name Narayana. So in this line, Krishna, Rama, Govinda, Narayana, we call out to the Supreme Lord who attracts one and all through his divine love, the one who eternally bestows joy and peace and security on everyone, the loving Lord who takes care of all beings, who exists everywhere and who comes to the rescue of his devotees. Let's move on to the second line.
Madhava Keshava Hari Narayana.
The first word here is Madhava, which comes from Ma and Dhava. Ma denotes Mother Lakshmi and Dhava means husband or master. Goddess Lakshmi also represents nature or Prakriti, which has been created by God and forms an inseparable part of Him. Hence in this context, Madhava means the Lord who is the master of nature, master of creation. The second word is Keshava. One meaning of this word is the one who destroys troubles or Klesha. Another meaning is one who has lovely locks of dark curly hair. And this is derived from the word Kesa, which means hair. The suffix va is added to denote the beauty of the hair by a grammatical rule. This name of the Lord indicates that His hair is black and curly and indescribably beautiful. It captivates and attracts anyone who beholds it, just as His form does. During Baba's Kodaikanal trip in 1999, one day Baba picked up three brothers who had relatively less hair on their heads because of hereditary reasons, and then Baba looked at one of them, smiled mischievously and said, "Hey boy, I can give you hair, but you are not asking." And then pointing to brother Satyajit, he said, "See, even he began to lose hair, and so I touched his head and now it has stopped. There is no more hair fall." And then Baba just paused and out came a revelation. He said, "Sometime back, some ladies told me that my hair is becoming thin, that they can see my scalp when there is a breeze. And so, I just increased my hair. See, now it is fine." And he just said this, moved gently his hand over his beautiful halo of hair, and a lovely smile escaped his lips. So that is Keshava, the Lord with that beautiful bewitching hair. The word Keshava also signifies the slaying of a demon named Kesi in the Krishnavatar. This is an interpretation given by Sri Adi Shankara and it is supported by the Vishnu Purana too. Kamsa, the maternal uncle of Krishna, sent Kesi to kill little Krishna, but it was he who met his death at the hands of that little Gopala. There is another meaning that Adi Shankara has given. Kesa denotes the rays that emanate from the sun. Krishna is the source of the sun, the moon and all the effulgent objects in the cosmos, and so he is called Keshava. Adi Shankara presents support from Mahabharata, in which Krishna says in the Gita, "The rays that are emanating from me are called Kesas, and so the learned Brahmins call me by the name Keshava." The third word is Hari. Baba says that Hari means remover or destroyer, since it destroys hurdles on the path of sadhana or our spiritual disciplines. The name Hari also means the one who is green in color, because of the root word Hara meaning green. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, "My superior complexion is green and therefore I am called Hari." The inner meaning is that the sight of green gives the feeling of peace to the mind. Similarly, remembering Hari, the green-hued Lord, gives peace to our soul. The fourth word is Narayana, whose meaning we already know. Therefore, in this line, Madhava, Keshava, Hari Narayana, we extol the Lord as the beloved consort of Mother Lakshmi, the master of creation. He is the one with lovely locks of dark hair, the one who destroys the hurdles on our spiritual path. Let's move on to the third line.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
This is a repeat of the first line of the bhajan. We move on to the fourth line.
Shri Venu Gopal Krishna.
The first word here is Shri, which is a term used to denote respect while addressing a person. The second word is Venu Gopala. Here Venu means flute and Gopala is the name of Krishna, referring to him as a cowherd. Here Go means cow and Pala means protect. The third word is Krishna, whose meaning we have seen earlier. Bhagwan used to take students and teachers to Kodaikanal, the hill station in Tamil Nadu, during the months of April and May. We discussed something that happened in 1999, but there's another very beautiful incident that happened much before, sometime in the early 90s. Once during a session before dinner, one of the young schoolboys who was part of the group made bold to request Swami to play the cymbals for the devotional songs that were being sung by the students. Swami readily acceded and took the cymbals and started playing. It was indeed such a beautiful sight. And after the singing session was over, Swami started talking and somehow the discussion moved to Lord Krishna. Professor Anil Kumar, who was also present, suddenly recollected the days in Vrindavan, Swami's ashram in Whitefield, and he mentioned how beautifully Swami would often play with the cymbals during those thrice sessions inside his residence in Vrindavan. And then Swami heard this, smiled, and almost in a whisper he said, "E Vrindavanamilo," that is, "in this Vrindavan, I used to play Talam." And then, pointing his index finger high up in the air as if to indicate a bygone era, Swami said, "A Vrindavanamilo, I used to play the flute." Which means, in this Vrindavan, that is, in the Vrindavan ashram, I played the Talam, the cymbals. But in that Vrindavan, that is, the Mathura Vrindavan of the Dwapara Yuga, I played the flute. What a sweet revelation. And Professor Anil Kumar got very excited. He wanted to immediately translate it. And Swami said, "No, there is no need for you to translate." But he said, "Swami, please forgive me. I want to translate because you have shared something so valuable." And he did share that with everyone. And it was such a joyous occasion to be blessed to receive such a beautiful message delivered so subtly. There is also a deeper significance about why the Lord chose the flute. Once Bhagwan said, "I would advise you to become the flute, for then the Lord will come to you, pick you up and put you to his own lips and breathe through you. And out of the hollowness of your heart, due to the utter absence of egoism that you have developed, he will create captivating music through you for all creation to enjoy. Therefore, be straight without any will of your own. Merge your will in the will of the Lord. Inhale only the breath of God." That, Baba said, is divine life. That is what I want you to achieve. Hence in this line, Sri Venu Gopala Krishna, we bow reverentially to the Lord who plays on the flute. Let us seek His blessings to become hollow like the flute so that He may use us as His beloved instruments. Let's move on to the last line.
Madhava Madhusudana Narayana.
The first word here is Madhava, which we already know. The second word is Madhusudana. It comes from Madhu and Sudana. Madhusudana means the Lord who killed the demon Madhu. Baba explains the inner significance by saying that Madhu refers to sensual pleasures. Madhu also means honey, sensual pleasures which entice and entrap, and Krishna destroys the enchantment cast on the mind by the senses. There's another beautiful interpretation too. Madhu is a term used in philosophy to refer to the fruits of actions. Since the Lord destroys the effects of the fruits of our actions, He is also called as Madhusudana. The third word is Narayana, which we have already seen. So in this line, Madhava, Madhusudana, Narayana, we hail the Lord who slayed the demon Madhu, the one who destroys the enticement of sensual pleasures, the master of creation, the all-pervasive Lord who can annihilate the effects of the fruits of our actions. With that, dear listeners, we have gained a glimpse of the inner meaning of every word of this bhajan. And with this deeper understanding, let's now listen to the full version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir by the students of Baba's University.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana. Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana. Madhava Keshava.
Now, in the last part of this program, let's listen to an excerpt of a presentation made during the National Bhajan Workshop by three brothers, Ravi Kumar, Amay and Siddhartha. they share how Bhagwan advised us to practice so that we develop good voices to sing Sai Bhajans.
And coming to the next part, how do we practice? So yeah, practice is so important. How do we practice? Swami has given us simply one simple mantra, and that is Omkaram practice. Omkaram practice is probably the foundation of all the Prashanti Mandir singers. Om is extremely powerful. Om helps you to strengthen your voice muscles, Swami has said. And that Om has to come from the belly and not just from the throat. And Swami in Dhyana Vahini actually has described how you can chant the Om. Swami says it should be like a plane which takes off, okay, and is in front of you and then has a tail sound to it. So, yeah, if you can give us a... So if we continuously do this, especially in the early morning hours, and in fact Swami has made it so easy because he has told us 21 times Omkar. Now there itself he is giving all the bhajan singers an opportunity to practice Omkaram every day 21 times. And in fact this Omkaram also has a lot of curative properties. Once our Pandit Jasraji had come to Prashanti Nilayam and we had invited him to music college. And he was talking to all of us. And when we asked him what is the practice that he does, guess what? He said, even he does only Omkaram practice. And he said, the beauty of Omkaram, and it's such a beautiful thing he said, everything in the world is round. If you look at the planets, they are round. Look at the sun, round. You can look at the stars, it's round. There is beauty in sphere. It is Purnam. Purnam adha, Purnam idam. Everything is round. Similarly, the voice also has to be round. It has to be spherical. And it is this Om which gives the roundness to the voice. It becomes a complete voice if you sing Omkaram.
So many accomplished singers, like he said, like Pandit Jasraji, there's so many people who have come there. And after they have performed in front of Swami, we have had the opportunity to interact with a few of them. One of them, in fact, said that practicing the word Hari Om is so very important to our being in Sur, which is the most important component of singing. So he says, just on the same note, if we practice Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
The important thing about this Hari Om, he explained, is that it has all these syllables, it has all these vowels being pronounced. Ha, Ri, O, M. And these are such important components to our bhajan singing. For example, for the E, if you have
Devi Bhavani Jagat Janani Mangala Karini Karunya Rupini
E. E is there. So when we do this Hari Om, that E part will help in this. And then for O,
Ram Hare Hari Nam Bolo Allah Sai Bolo Mala Sai Bolo.
That O part of it can be taken from that. And then of course M part is Manasa Bhajare.
Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam.
That M. With that M we'll get the steadiness. Similar to we also have like
Kasturi Tilakam Narayanam
Go
Nurpura Nara Kali Yuga Avatara Narayanam Govind Govind.
So when that Govind comes, you get that practice.
Govind Govind Narayanam.
So you know that in is also so important. All these vowels are so important, and that is what is covered in just this simple
Hari Om.
So if you do Hari Om practice, that is another practice which is very helpful for culturing the voice.
So that was an excerpt from the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013. And with that, we have reached the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We certainly hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did in bringing it to you. As always, we eagerly welcome your valuable feedback and suggestions. Please do email us at listener@radiosai.org. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heartfelt gratitude for having used us as his instruments, we place this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our beloved Lord.